Good afternoon, everyone. This is Terry Koop sitting in for Pam Stack today on Authors on the Air. And we have Tamara Thorne and Alistair Croft going to be talking about their show and their new book, The Witches of Ravencrest book launch, which is coming up any time now. First, let's introduce everybody. Are you there, Tamara and Alistair?
We're here.
We're here.
All right.
We're here.
Since people are tuning in who may not be familiar with your show, why don't you introduce each other and tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, I'm
you do
Alistair
it.
Cross, author of The Crimson Corset, The Angel Alejandro, and Tamara Thorne here is the author of international bestsellers like Haunted and Bad Things and Moonfall. And let's see, in 2014 we started the radio show Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live, which is kind of a horror-themed hour-long radio show on Thursdays where we discuss all things horror, and we have interviewed such guests as V.C. Andrews, a.k.a. Andrew Niederman, Preston and Child, Laurel K. Hamilton, Charlene Harris, Jay Bonansinga, Jonathan Mayberry, John Saul, yeah, all kinds of fun people. And that's still going on, and we still have some great shows coming up, so check out Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live. We're on Facebook. You can find everything you need to about us on our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com.
Yep.
Is that good?
So you say you've been, doing
That's
this,
right.
You've been doing this show together for a couple of years now?
Yeah. We started it in November of the very end of 2014, and we're already pretty much booked out through the rest of this year, I believe. Yeah, we are.
We're
booked.
We have a second guest or a second host, a third host, QL Pierce, who's a very well-known children's writer, and she comes on with YA horror now and then, and I think she just filled up the rest of our spots.
Yeah.
So that's great.
She gets the
Newbery Award winner.
Let's hear about your book. So tell me a little bit about the Ravencrest series. Take it all the way back to the beginning, and then we'll work our way up to the new book. You were telling me it's originally put out as a serial?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came out and serialized. They always come out in serialized installments. The reason for... Okay, so this started way back in 2013. Yeah, we started talking about writing together in 2013, and I was a big fan of Tamara's from the 90s, and we got to know each other, and I was really, really excited when she said to me at some point, I had just barely gotten published on my own, and I was really excited when she said to me, how would you feel about writing a book with me? Well, I was like, you know, totally freaking out because, you know, it's Tamara Thorne. This is one of the authors. Yeah, seriously, this is one of the authors that I grew up on. I teased on, you know. So I was
aging
stoked.
Me.
So I was stoked.
So, Alan,
and,
yeah. Alistair, yeah, and your basic response was, I have to.
Exactly. And so, so she
and
said
I
we,
couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't believe I asked him that. I swore I would never, ever collaborate, ever, having been through the fire once. And as him, it was like, want to write a book together?
Yeah. And so I was really excited. And we talked about doing a gothic. We talked about, because, you know, she loved Dark Shadows. I loved Rebecca. We both loved both.
We both
but,
did,
you know,
yeah.
That was, but I was so excited that I thought, it's going to take, you know, it takes like a year to write a book. It takes, you know, this is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I get something out there with, you know, with her. So I suggested that we did like serialized installments so that we could release something every 4 to 6 weeks. And then come to find out, you know, the readers really like that. And so we've been doing it ever since. And so the Ravencrest saga is, it takes place in, of course, a Ravencrest Manor, which is a great big huge mansion that was imported stone by stone from England in the 1800s from, you know, And it has its own history with it, its own very haunted history, and it comes with it to America. And we get to do flashbacks. We get to, you know, get into the life stories of all the ghosts that are haunting the place. It's great.
Let me ask a question. When is the, what is the time frame? Is it contemporary?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's contemporary, but sometimes we have flashbacks or tell stories, you know, and go back in time to different eras.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of fun.
So the, this compilation is the Ravencrest that you're about to launch. That is the second book in the series, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, it's the second
book. What was the
book? The first one was The Ghosts of Ravencrest, and this one is The Witches of Ravencrest. And we'll be starting on the third, which will also come out as installments at first. Within a couple of, I think we're going to wait a couple months. I think we got a
vampire novel to finish.
So how many episodes do you typically release in a for a book?
Eight. So far, it's been eight on both.
Yeah, we didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
about how long are they, and about how often does it come out?
But they're the short books for us. They're over 100,000 words, and that's really short for us. So.
Yeah, the entire book. The installments.
Yeah.
The installments are it varies. I'm not sure, but they vary, and they come out about every 6 weeks is probably average.
Awesome.
In the perfect world, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in a on if somebody wanted to pick you up by the episode, would they go to your website? Would they go to Amazon? How could someone order them?
They could do that. They could do it either way. We have the installments on our websites, and also they're on Amazon.
Yeah,
we
only sell the installments on Amazon. So $0.99. Yeah.
So it's 99 cents an installment, or if someone can wait until the entire book comes out, which the new one that's coming out, when is Witches of Ravencrest coming out?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Congratulations. It's available for pre-order. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's, you can pre-order it at Amazon, and the paper version will be available everywhere, but we don't quite have that, the pub date for that yet.
Yeah,
so,
that's usually a few weeks later. The paper of that version usually takes a few weeks later.
How is the episode method working for you? I'm fascinated by that.
Oh, it's great. Partly because it gives us something a steady thing we have to do besides our ongoing collaborations, regular books, and we have solos going on at the same time too. So, Ravencrest is sort of, you know, the anchor. We do some Ravencrest every day, and it's nice.
It's
been fans like it too.
Yeah, they do. We were surprised by that, but they really do. It gives them something, I think, to look forward to.
Yeah, something regular.
So. Do you have a continuing cast of characters throughout the books? Like I see, you know, Governess Belinda Moreland, a very, very sinister-sounding name.
They all concern her, and there's a, you know, and the household staff, and, of course, the ghosts, and, they all... You know,
the handsome millionaire, you know,
exactly.
We put everything in there.
Yeah, it's total gothic.
It sounds a lot like
what? It broke up.
Like it sounds shadows in its own way.
I'm getting every other syllable.
Yeah, something's
okay. Well, you and Alistair keep chatting, and I will if I have to call back in again. I will. Don't worry. You guys keep chatting.
All right.
Okay. Well, we have Belinda Moreland as a young governess, you know, which is something that goes with every gothic ever done practically. And then Eric Manning is the handsome millionaire who's very mysterious. And my favorite character is Grant Pfister, and he's ostensibly the butler, but there's a whole lot more going on with him and his husband, Riley. Now, who do you – what about you,
Ooh.
Alistair?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you sound good. You
definitely.
Sound good. Now, it cuts out a little bit from time to time, so if we just we'll just kind of go on.
If I fall off the wagon, you guys just keep going. You can come
all
and
right,
pick me up later. Yeah.
We know
we
how
did
these
this
things
yesterday.
Go.
Yeah.
I would say that my favorite character. I mean, there are so many favorites,
yeah.
really, truly. But one of my favorites is Cordelia Heller. She is the house administrator. That's what she calls herself. She's basically
yeah.
a glorified secretary, but she also has some pretty wicked powers of her own. But you know, she's interesting because
yeah.
she goes back centuries. She's kind of a body hopper, I guess.
Yeah.
She's been around a
cool.
long time, and she's trying
yeah.
to get a place in the Manning family. The Mannings are the you know, the family
Man.
Who owns the Ravencrest.
Yeah. She's always after them, and always something always happens. Now her enemy is Belinda because Eric Manning is really getting interested in her.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna step in here for just a second and open things
sure.
up for callers. If anyone would like to call in, it's 347-633-9609. And if our first caller, we'll make sure you get a book. So we'll just let that go. And also, keep going back with the characters. You were saying she's a body hopper?
She's yeah, mm-hmm. she's a bit of a body hopper. She's been around for centuries, and she's she's a witch, you know. So she's been
yeah.
She's been hanged. She's been, but she's always managed to you know, get
jump
out of
out.
That body at just the right time.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with that. And then of
yeah.
course there are the maids who work directly under her. They're starting to be a lot of fun because we're really starting to
yeah.
see some of what they're. You know, capable of. It's fun. It's, you know, I think
really
the reason
is.
I love this series so much is that
well,
you, there's no end to what we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, neither of us are big on writing series books, but this
mm-hmm.
one is different. There's what Alistair said. There's no end. There's everything. It's there.
And
it's
do
wonderful.
You find that by doing this both as a series and with episodes, that you can do this with the characters. You can just get deeper into them and take them off into
yeah.
all sorts of crazy directions.
Yeah,
yeah, because
we
if,
can.
If something starts to get stale, we can shift and move in a different direction, and it's great.
Yeah,
and do you find
because
you have like a
short. Oh,
a series of, or and do you find too that you? I mean, you've got the main plot, of course, but then you get like a mm-hmm. series of subplots that you can bring in and resolve, and then move on and all
yeah,
under
yeah.
the
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
We always
an overarching story.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool.
We always have something that we resolve, but we always plant more threads at the end of the book, you know. So we know that the next book is called Ravencrest Saga : Exorcism, and we planted a few
Ooh.
Pins.
Yeah.
And we don't tie up all our ribbons on everything. You just have to keep reading. They get tied up eventually,
and,
but not necessarily in the same book, just the main plot.
Yeah.
And when will we start seeing the episodes of Ravencrest Exorcism?
A little later
that?
This year.
Probably later this year. I would think that we,
yeah.
I think that we'll probably start working on the first installment of that within a couple of months, I think. I would say by the end of this year, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
we don't
awesome.
Want to take too
that
much
just
time
sounds
off.
Like,
but, yeah.
That sounds like
yeah.
so much fun. Now,
it
before
is.
I hit you up for a reading, I know each of you are working on your own individual books, too. What's going on there?
Well, I've got one called Brimstone that I'm slowly finishing, and it takes place in 1968. It's an 11-year-old girl. It's a coming-of-age story in a haunted hotel in Arizona, based very closely on the history and actual building in Jerome, Arizona,
Ooh.
The Jerome Grant. used to be a hospital, originally
Jerome.
A hotel. Isn't it fantastic?
Yes.
Where it hangs off the hill.
That place
there's just magic in the
streets there. Well,
yeah.
So that one's called Brimstone, but you don't have a release date on it yet.
No, I got to finish it first. But Alistair's
okay.
making me finish it. He always makes me work.
Good job, Alistair. Now, what are you up to, Alistair?
I just finished. Well, I didn't just finish. My latest one is it's called Sleep Savannah Sleep. And it's coming out on September 25th, and it is a paranormal murder mystery. It involves a small-town murder. Yeah, it's a small-town murder with a whole, you know, a whole town full of potential suspects, and a guy who's new to town who begins having what he thinks are visions. He's basically being kind of haunted by the ghost of the victim, who is trying very hard to show him who did this to her, and he's not having an easy time with that. And that, like I said, that comes out in the end of September. I'm going to do a cover reveal for it next week, so I'll be on Facebook revealing the cover. And and I just barely started kind of plotting out the idea. I'm chipping away, you know, the idea for the next book, which is I don't really want to say too much about that yet, because it's barely started. It's just a very basic idea. Yeah, it's not ripe at all. It's just a very basic idea. So I'll be starting on that within the next couple weeks, I think, really getting that, you know. Yeah.
And our next collaboration, I think we're trying to finish it or have it out in November. I forget.
That's our goal, I think.
It's called Darling Girls, and it's actually, I wrote a vampire novel called Candle Bay years ago, and then Alistair wrote one called The Crimson Corset a couple years ago, and he put my vampires in for a cameo, and we decided to do a sequel to both of them. And it's called Darling Girls. My vampires are darlings, and they're mostly girls. And,
excellent.
So we've combined everybody, and we're having a great time with that. That's our next one.
Well, Alistair, when your mystery gets closer, I would love it if you would come back on my show, Blue Plate Special, and talk about that, because I'm a mystery thriller writer myself. I'm also an attorney, and one of the ideas that I've kicked around over the years is there's a saying in law that the dead are your best witness.
Oh, nice.
Nice, yeah.
And what that means is it's kind of a coroner thing, meaning that the evidence that you find, like when you do an autopsy and such, is sometimes some of your best. It's how the victim testifies. But I always thought, what if you took that one step further and the victim actually did testify? And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
Pretty much. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to, you know, I would be thrilled to. So when we are done with the show and stuff like that, I can, I'll send you, as soon as I get it, I'll send you a copy of the book, and yeah, let's do it. That sounds great.
That's great.
You'll love
Thank you.
Themes. They're just riveting.
Now, you guys promised me a reading.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tamara does the readings because she's really good at the voices, and she's a good reader. So I always just step back and try not to laugh.
I love when you laugh, though. You know that just makes me more obnoxious.
What is this from?
All right, well, this is from the climax, really, the beginning of the climax of The Witches of Ravencrest. It's a scene at the Harvest Ball. It's a yearly costume party that Ravencrest, the Mannings, throw. It's early in the evening, and we're in the point of view of Devilswood Police Department's #1 detective, Sasha Flankenball. Now, Sasha's not only a terrific detective, his hair and makeup are always flawless, and everyone agrees he has the best legs on the force. And He was a throwaway character in the first book, and we liked him so much we brought him back. Now, he's been invited to the ball by Grant Fister, the Ravencrest's wise and very mysterious butler. And so Grant is dressed as one of his predecessors in, you know, 17th century attire, and Riley, his husband, is dressed as a Jolly Green Giant, and I think that's all I need to explain to make it, you know, okay. So they're at the ball. Let me open my water and sip it. Spare you the gargling. All right. This scene is called Into the Night. "You'll like Grant and Riley," Sasha told his wife. "How's my lipstick?" "I'm sure I'll like them, and your lipstick is perfect, as always." Lynette, a cardiologist at Immaculate Heart Medical Center, squeezed Sasha's hand. "How's my mustache?" "Absolutely stunning." Sasha, dressed as Victoria, wore a black spangled 30s-era sheath and beaded cloche, and Lynette made an elegant Victor right down to the pencil-thin mustache Sasha had drawn on her upper lip. He knew she'd wanted to dress as Victoria, but she'd steadfastly denied it. She always did when it came to matters of drag. "My God," thought Sasha, "how I love this woman." Grant Pfister smiled and nodded as he and his big green husband approached. Introductions were made, then Grant and Riley sat down with Sasha and Lynette. "Quite a turnout," said Sasha. "It always is," Grant agreed. "Well, we appreciate the invitation. Of course, your costumes, by the way, are fantastic." As Grant and Sasha talked, Riley and Lynette dove into a conversation of their own, clearly enjoying each other's company. Grant leaned into Sasha. "Did you ever find that missing kid, Calvin Bowers?" Sasha shook his head. "No, we don't know what became of him." He suppressed a shudder, recalling what, even still, he could only think of as an animated corpse. No sign of Rhonda Moreland or Randine Tucker, either. He thought he caught something in Grant's eyes at the mention of the missing woman, something dark and uncertain, but it was gone so fast that Sasha decided he'd imagined it. "It's all very curious," said Grant, "but enough shop talk for now. How are the two of you enjoying the ball?" Lynette cut in. "It's absolutely divine. I feel like I've stepped back in time. It's glorious and beautiful." Sasha nodded. "My sentiments exactly." Near the buffet table, a woman in a massive showgirl's headpiece was laughing boisterously, drawing stares. She sounded like a horse with strep, her throaty laugh overpowering the orchestra as she kicked her legs and jounced like the Vegas showgirl she was obviously attempting to be. "That's Veronica Barker," Grant told the Flankenballs. "She's Clifford Barker's wife." "Clifford Barker, the bank president?" Sasha looked surprised. Grant nodded. Lynette shook her head. "She's dreadful." "I dare say she's had a bit too much to drink," said Grant. "Not that she isn't just as dreadful sober," Riley grinned. Sasha watched her flirting with a man in a Batman costume, her unfortunate flabby arms flapping as she gestured broadly and hacked out another laugh. Then she glanced over. Sasha, Grant, Riley, and Lynette all looked away, but it was too late. The aging showgirl staggered toward them, drink in hand. "Well, if it isn't Grant Pfister!" Some of her champagne slopped over the lip of her glass and down her age-spotted, wrinkled cleavage. She made the sit, swaying and bobbing and fighting with her ass feathers as she all but fell into a chair, letting out another unholy raucous machine gun series of unfortunate cackles and coughs. "Waiter!" She looked around, the ridiculous, glittery feathers of her monstrous headdress sweeping from side to side. They would have knocked over Sasha's drink had his reflexes not been so quick. "Waiter!" she cried again, then looked at the others. "I was outside having a smoke, and I saw the cutest little midget dressed up as Harlequins. I thought they'd come in, but they ran into the forest, and I swear to God they were tearing each other's clothes off. They must be having a midget orgy. Waiter! I hope they come soon. I want to take a picture of them. Waiter!" A tuxedo-clad server holding a tray of champagne flutes showed up. "Well, it's about time. I've been calling and calling. I want another one of those." Veronica snatched two glasses from the tray and waved the man away. She guzzled one down, then looked at Sasha and Lynette. "And who the hell are you two? I know Grant and his lover, but who in the Jesus are you?" She threw her head back and laughed. I'm Sasha Flankenball. This is my wife, Lynette. Veronica held a hand out and offered each of them a damp, unsteady shake. "I'm Veronica Baker, but you can call me Ronnie." She dumped the other drink down her gullet. For reasons Sasha couldn't comprehend, the woman shouted out every few words as if she might be afraid she wasn't being heard, which certainly was not the case. "Everybody calls me Ronnie," she went on. "The only time I go by my full name is at the DMV." She laughed so hard it sounded like she might cough up a hairball. "Are you having a good time?" asked Grant, all politeness and reserve. "Of course. course I am. You know I always just love your balls. Every year I can't wait to come. You have the best balls, Grant. Sasha couldn't speak for fear of laughing. Grant has lovely balls, Riley said, winking at Lynette. Sometimes he lets me hold them. Isaac, balls are just swell, and Clifford Barker approached his anxiety apparent. Well, there you are, Ronnie. Ronnie whipped her head around her feathers once again, threatening Sasha's glass. She stared at her husband as if she didn't recognize him. As she weaved in her chair, her eyes floating. Oh, it's you. She didn't sound pleased. Have you met these two people? I think they're cross-dressers. She gestured disinterestedly at Sasha and Lynette as she grabbed Sasha's champagne and downed it. This is good. Better than Andre. More introductions were made, and Grant offered Clifford a seat. I'd love to, said the bank manager, but Ronnie and I need to have a chat, don't we, dear? No, we don't. She listened, leaned into Sasha, putting her hand up to her mouth and stifling a boozy belch. He's lying, she cackled, nearly fell out of her chair. You've always been such a damned liar, she slapped the table, quaking with laughter, silverware rattled. I always tell him, I say, Clifford, that's the reason you're such a good bank president, because you're such a good liar. Clifford went red, verging on purple. Grant, obviously trying to break the tension, said, Your costume, Clifford,
That's
are you Houdini? Clifford,
That's awesome.
I'm not quite done.
Keep going.
Clifford Barker looked pleased. You're the only one who's guessed it correctly so far. Sasha took in the rope that twined around Clifford's torso, the manacles that hung from his hands. Ah, Houdini, I get it. Bet he'd like to disappear right now. Ronnie, who was still laughing at her own cleverness, began to cough. She slid her chair out, bent forward, and hacked champagne and canapes between her knees, the feathers of her headpiece swaying and bobbing, tickling the silverware. All right, Ronnie, said Clifford, let's go. Using her momentary incapacitation, he grabbed her by a bat wing and got her to her feet, dragging her away from the table toward a silver coffee urn. Call me Ronnie, they heard her say as she and her husband disappeared. Every year, Grant shook his head. Every year. Yeah.
That is super.
Yeah, I don't know where she
wait.
Came from. She's a lot of fun.
Well, what I'm going to do here, I have to do a little bit of housekeeping. You know the drill, and I want both for being here. And remember, everybody, Witches of Ravencraft, the compilation, the second book in the series, comes out tomorrow. Back again, I'd like to talk more about your collaborative process and just these hilarious characters you've come up with. Good luck.
Well,
luck with it, and thank you very much for coming on. And I, like I said, the housekeeping duties here of this is a copyrighted podcast owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And these podcasts are brought to you in part by the support of Down and Out Books, celebrating 6 years of hard-hitting mystery and 6 Anthony nominations this year. We appreciate you, your support, and check them out at www.downandoutbooks.com. And thank you, everyone, and we will see you on our next show. And make sure to catch Tamara and Alistair on their show on Thursday evenings. Thank you.
Thank you.